I believe there's a wave coming. It's interesting you got that picture of the surfers. You know, spiritually, you can sense something building sometimes, but the only thing you know to do is to get on your board. Because you can't ride the wave until the wave actually comes. There's just really nothing you can do. It takes God to do that. And you can try, and some do, and fail miserably. But unless God's in the house and the cook's in the kitchen, so to speak, the thing is flying. There's just really nothing you can do. But I believe we're in this sort of trough moment, but I feel it on the upswing. And, you know, but as we did during worship, how many people feel some resistance? Well, see, watch at the beach. What happens? In fact, let's use a bigger analogy, a tsunami. You've heard with tsunamis, right? What happens right before the surge comes? There's a pulling away. They said the ocean actually recedes really, really far. There's this tension. There's this tension. I feel really challenged right now, personally, on multiple levels. A lot of people that aren't here are battling sickness, are battling all sorts of difficulties. And if you were here last week, our theme was Remember Ziklag. If you weren't here last week, you can listen to it on our podcast, on our website. Remember Ziklag. Ziklag, you can read about it in 1 Samuel 30. It's where David went through a really difficult situation. But the Bible says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. How many know that's what we need right now? Yeah. We need to be strengthened, not within our own strength, but strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Because now is actually not a time to run from our calling, from our gifts, from our purposes. It's time to press in. And that's exactly what David did at Ziklag. He had an opportunity to run and hide, and his guys were mad at him. They wanted to kill him, maybe, and all this stuff's going wrong in his family and his spiritual mentor and everything. But guess what he did? He strengthened himself in the Lord and he ran into the fight. And he asked God for answers. So I'll remind you of another message. In him, you are safe. Acronym. S, he's your shield and your song. A, he's a father who answers your cry for help. Are you asking him questions right now? I have a lot of questions that I really need God to answer right now. Ask him. I know that he's a father who answers. We read that out of James during worship. If you lack wisdom, was it said to do what? Ask. Ask God. It's amazing. We lack 100% of the things that we never ask for. Like, ask God. So that's safe. A, F, he's a father who frees us from fear. Fast news, if you have to. Fast Facebook, if you have to. Get out of your comparison traps. Get whatever it is. I'm not defining it for you. I'm just giving you examples. Like, get yourself in the heart of God. Because E, he's a God who empathizes with us in every way. Chris and I were just talking about the man Jesus and the humanity and how tired he must have been right before church. Like, can you imagine how sleepless some of Jesus' nights were? And then he gets up early to pray. But he's human, so his flesh was tired. I don't know if he was grumpy. Is that sin to be grumpy? We know it's sin, but you know, you're probably a little grumpy, at least on the inside and all this. God empathizes, like Jesus empathizes, because here's a newsflash. He's a real person. I want to encourage you, find your day to look into his eyes. Like, practice sanctified imagination. Visualize his face. Look into his eyes and ask him questions. That's a God who answers our cry for help. Ask him your real questions. Ask him your concerns. Talk to him. Yeah, this sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? Like, newsflash. What's the pastor saying? Pray. Yeah, but let's take the spin off of pray. Sit down and talk to Jesus. This is a real person. Like, he's really here. I found the crazy thing. He really talks back to me. It really helps me. This is a time for that. This wave is building and I want to catch it. I want to get on the board. How about you? Is anybody with me? I shared this last week. I'm going to share it again. Ben, put that picture up. This is Marine Corporal Dakota Meyer. He was deployed to Fallujah in Iraq in 2007. And as a scout sniper, in 2009, during his second tour, he arrived in Kunar Province, Afghanistan. And during a mission to search and clear the village of Ganagal, two platoons of Marines were ambushed by 50 insurgents firing machine guns, RPGs, and sniper fire. After hearing over the radio that three Marines and a Navy corpsman had been killed by a group of insurgents, Corporal Meyer and another Marine approached the village under fire and killed several Taliban with an M240 machine gun mounted on the Humvee. Despite a shrapnel wound to his arm, Meyer made five incursions into the kill zone and retrieved the bodies of four Marines and several others who were wounded. He ultimately left the Humvee and searched the village on foot for survivors. For his actions, he was awarded the Medal of Honor for Valor. He's the second youngest living recipient and the first living Marine in 38 years to receive the Medal of Honor. So it's Memorial Day weekend, but more than that, you've got Corporal Meyer, who when the battle got heated, he didn't run away. He ran in. I'll be honest with you, I need courage. I need that courage. It's not my courage, it's Jesus' courage. How did Jesus run into the cross, so to speak? How did he do that? I don't know, but you know what the end result is? Of course you do. It's resurrection power. The Bible says that if we share in his suffering, we'll also share in his glory. Sometimes it's not time to stay home, but to run into fight. Now here's a couple scriptures. Let me shift gears, because I want to talk about how. Paul explained to Timothy in a verse in Timothy that you fight with the prophetic words that you've been given. So like the graduates just got some words, right? Fight with those things. Like take those things, listen to them, chew on them. Any other words that you have, any words you get out of scripture, I put them down on a place in my notes on my phone, so I always have it in my pocket. Because you never know throughout the day. I might need like a word. Give the word and fight with that. But also, here's the other factor. You fight with your gifts. What do you mean by that? The best analogy I can think of is in football. In football, the best defense is a good offense. Because if your team has the ball and is busy bringing it down the field towards the goal line, you don't have to worry about the defense is on the sidelines, right? A good offense is the best defense. So that's what your spiritual gifts are, okay? Your talent, all that God has given you. You need to find a place to allow that to flow through your life. If it's leadership, as Paul told Timothy, lead with all diligence. If it's healing, like it is for me, do something like the Adventures of the 70, right? If it's serving, find a place to serve. If it's prophecy, dadgummit, find somebody to prophesy over. Like, in other words, the analogy my pastor always gave us is, don't become a Dead Sea. You know what the Dead Sea is? Water flows in. There's no place for it to flow out. All of us, we're all in danger, in a sense, in jeopardy of becoming a Dead Sea, because you got to have an outflow. We need an outflow in our lives. We have each other to encourage one another. But I want to hear from you. I'm going to be talking to you even individually this summer of, where's your outflow? Like, what ministry has God put in you? It doesn't have to be in this room. But what has God put in you? And I love the examples of what people are doing and what God's. But I just want to encourage you, like, sir, here's what Peter actually wrote, 1 Peter 4:10. Every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. Don't you love that? So that's why we're charismatics. That's where that word comes from, is grace, gifts, the charisma, right? In other words, it's not you. You don't have to do it. You allow grace to do its work in you and let it flow. Here's another one Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1. He said, I'm writing to encourage you, get this, to fan into flame. Say fan into flame. Say fan into flame.
Fan into flame.
Fan into flame what? Fan into flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid my hands upon you, Timothy. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, but love, power, and a sound mind in another translation. Did you know that was related to spiritual gifts? I thought it was the nightmares that my mom prayed that over me because I had nightmares as a kid. It's a good application there too, but it's actually about spiritual gifts. Why? Because the devil knows if he can keep you from flowing, he can turn you into a dead sea, and then he's got you ineffective. He got you in a place of just kind of hanging out and getting discouraged and letting life just beat on you. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying to get you to do anything. I'm saying this is the secret to fighting the fight, to pressing in, is standing on the prophetic word, the words, the rhema words, but also letting the flow in the gifts. Are you with me? Where do these gifts come from? Almost out of time. The Holy Spirit. We all need a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. Come on.
Yeah, amen.
Who needs fresh fire on your gift? Fresh fire. Fresh fire on all the gifts here. On all the talents, on all the anointings. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Here's an example, Acts 19. It's an example of a move of God, or sometimes we use the word revival. It's a move of the Holy Spirit that breaks out in the city of Ephesus. And I want you to note here how Paul strengthened himself in the Lord, just like David at Ziklag. Because here's the thing. Paul had gone through a lot. Acts 19 is approximately like 15 years after Jesus ascended to heaven. Okay, you just read through Luke and then Acts, and it seems like it happened like 3 weeks later. But it's not. There's actually a lot of years in between the lines here in the book of Acts. So by the time you get to Acts 19, a lot's happened. There's been ebbs and flows and waves and troughs and all these things. And not to mention the persecution, right? Like Emperor Caligula and Nero and all these guys. I mean, it's a very, very difficult time. Sometimes I realize I've thought about like revival and moves of God incorrectly. I thought, well, when God moves, everything is great, roses, bam, boom, thank you, Jesus. It's all wonderful and everybody's happy. Wrong. God makes a big old mess. A lot of great things happen, and there's difficulty. There's persecution. There's trouble. There's fighting. There's, I mean, just all kinds of things. There's disappointment. Guess what? The parable of the sower is about 30% success rate. You know? I mean, in other words, some may receive the word excited, but after the heat, right? You remember the parable of the sower, the thorns, thistles, and all that? Then some, they for various reasons, they fall away. They lose their healing. I'm not trying to paint a negative picture. I'm just trying to say, biblically, in Acts 19, look at how Paul strengthened himself in the Lord. It doesn't always look like what I expected. But what happens when the people of God, what happens when they're full of fresh fire, get strengthened in Him, and they run into the battle? While Apollos, this is verse 1, was ministering in Corinth, can do this quick. Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey. So this is a Greek city-state called Ephesus on the western shores of modern-day Turkey on the Aegean Sea, and all God's people are like, huh? Yeah. Put up a map. As a geography teacher, bam, I know exactly where you're at on the planet. But, you know, hey, look it up later. You know where Turkey is? I don't know. All right. So while Apollos is ministering in Corinth, Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. The first thing he asked them was, don't you love this story? Hey, did you guys receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, they replied. We've not even heard of a Holy Spirit. Paul asked them, then what was the meaning of your baptism? They responded, it meant that we would follow Jesus' teaching. Oh, sorry, you're right. That we would follow John's teaching. That's a critical error there. Paul said John's baptism was for those who were turning from their sins, and he taught you to believe in and follow the one who was coming after him, Jesus the Anointed One. Has anybody ever met a Christian that never heard of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it's actually very common. I met lots and lots of people like, yeah, my tradition growing up, it was like Jesus and the Father. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, I don't know. It's in the Apostles' Creed. Like, oh man, I always, just on a side note, always just like kind of hurts my heart, not in judgment for them, because I just think about John 14:15, where Jesus is like, I'm going away, but there's another one coming, the Holy Spirit, that'll do all this stuff for you. And when I read that, I think, man, if he's the third part that's here now in our era, in our epic, shouldn't we like get to know him? But there's a whole groups of people that never heard of him. Come on, well, this is who he ran across. It's nothing news under the sun. And so Paul said to him, so when they understood this, they were baptized into the authority of Jesus, the Anointed One. And when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested, and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied. Here's what stands out to me here. It's Paul's telling them the deal, and it says, and when they understood this. I don't think it was just like a mental understanding. I think the Holy Spirit came and gave them revelation. Are you following me? Has anybody ever had that happen to them? Like all of a sudden you read something in the Bible or you heard a message preached, and boom, it's like a light bulb moment. That's exactly what happened here, is they understood, a light bulb moment came on. They received fresh revelation, and then was the impartation. What is impartation? It's the gifts received through the laying on of hands. Paul laid his hands on them, and they received. Everybody say received. And they received. We need fresh revelation and fresh impartation right now while we're sitting on the surfboard. There's a wave building. There's a move of God coming. But not only do I need to stand on the prophetic word, not only do I need to stir up my gifts, but this is one of the ways that I do that. That's why I went to the Randy Clark conference online this week, because back in 2014, I got this impartation from Randy Clark, fire in my hands, weeping, wailing. There was snot. It was disgusting, but it was really, really good. And God did some really golden things in my heart through that impartation. So I'm like, man, I'm gonna watch this. Well, it just so happens we were traveling on Friday afternoon when he had these impartation meeting scheduled. I was like, oh man, I'm going to miss the impartation. But on Wednesday morning in the first session, he just starts mentioning impartation and just starts talking about it. I think he read a scripture or something, and my hands started burning. I'm literally sitting there at my computer. I'm like, Sarah, I think it's happening again. Like I could feel this fire on my hands. And the Lord was just reminding me, remember the power of the impartation, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes on you. It just made me so hungry for more. It made me so hungry for more. So find, if your gift is leadership, find a really good leader and ask him to pray for you. If your gift is in the prophetic, find a prophet of the highest rank that you can find and say, would you please impart what you have to me? If it's mercy, I mean, there's tons of gifts, right? If it's mercy, a giver of mercy, find that person that demonstrates that really well. And even if they don't even know your like lingo, because here's the thing, you don't, they may be a person that doesn't even, like, impartation, say it after. They don't even know what that means. They don't speak Christianese, but they do it really well. Say, hey, can you just pray for me because I need what you have, right? It's like the in the world, in the business world, they talk about hang out with those people that you want to be like, right? Hang out with those. That's what impartation is. You just get it by being around them, getting them to pray for you. We need fresh impartation, but we need also that revelation to where we understand. How many people are just diving into the scripture right now? There's so much honey dripping from the word. Like, if you're not in the word, get there one verse a day. Honestly, it could be as little as one proverb, one psalm, like something. And people go, yeah, but I fall asleep. I don't remember what I read. Well, you don't remember what you had for lunch last Tuesday, but it still nourished your body. Our body needs food. Your spiritual body needs word. It needs word because there's fresh revelation. And without revelation, guess what happens? Our vision dies. For lack of revelation, the people perish, right? Lack of a prophetic vision. That's what it says in the Old Testament. All right, so immediately they spoke in tongues. Okay, give me two more minutes. For 3 months, Paul taught openly and fearlessly in the synagogue. Man, that food's smelling good. Are y'all okay? Everybody's stomach is growling. I'm not going to keep you till 12, though. Come on, we're going to eat. Where's Josh Timberlake at? Josh, if you're watching, we're getting ready to eat. Let me finish this so I can eat. Now I'm hungry. He's riding the waves down there in Wilmington. For 3 months. Can you see Josh surfing? Yeah. Paul taught openly and fearlessly. Everybody say openly and fearlessly. Man, that's what I want to do. Openly and fearlessly. In the synagogue, arguing persuasively for them to enter into God's kingdom realm. But some of them in the church, he's in the church, in the synagogue, hardened their hearts and stubbornly refused to believe. When they spoke evil of the way in front of the congregation, Paul withdrew from them and took the believers with him. Every day for over 2 years, he taught them in the lecture hall of Tyrannus, T-Rex, I guess. I guess there was dinosaurs back then. But, which resulted in everyone living in the province of Asia, Jews and non-Jews, hearing the prophetic word of the Lord. God kept releasing a flow of extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. Because of this, people took Paul's handkerchiefs and articles of clothing. Now, I think here's what it was. He was a tent maker. He wore these aprons and stuff. It was his work clothes. It's what he had in his hands. There was an anointing on him. And they would take these tent-making aprons and such, and they even pieces of cloth that had touched his skin laying on the bodies of the sick. And diseases and demons left them, and they were healed. Here's what the Lord was showing me. He's like, but they rejected him in the church. They didn't like his preaching. So what did he do? He strengthened himself in the Lord. He rose up and he's like, hey, we're going down to the UNC lecture hall. We're going to have meetings down there. Because he didn't give up and run away from the fight, he ran into it. And what was the result? Unusual miracles. Extraordinary is the word here. Extraordinary is made up of two, a prefix and a suffix. Extraordinary. More than the ordinary. I don't even know what that is. I guess it's defining the articles of clothing, touching people with the anointing and then being healed. Extraordinary. Do you guys believe that this could happen today? I do too. I'm actually just crazy enough to believe that. I actually saw that happen in India. I'm not going to go into that story because it's time to eat. But I believe, why? Because what's released is glory when we dive into difficulty. It's the upside down, wrong side out gospel. In the natural, when there's difficulty, failure, whatever, you kind of look for a different path. You kind of run away from, ooh, that doesn't feel good. And you start, you know, like, well, she's just not making me happy. Let me just get another wife, you know, just that kind of nonsense. It's like, no. That's not a time to run away. When your marriage is a wreck, it's a time to run in. It's a time to run to. It's a time to go up to Him, to come together, because you're right on the verge of your greatest breakthrough. It's time for glory. We're not a people that's going to run away. Like David, we're going to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And we're going to look at each other and say, remember Ziklag? Yeah. There you go. That's the battle cry. Like in the Spanish-American War, remember the Alamo. Right? There was great sacrifice at the Alamo. In fact, they all died. Isn't that right, Dad? Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, some of the great frontiersmen were down there, and they all died. But who won the war? They did. Why? Because they looked at each other and they strengthened themselves in the Lord. They said, remember the Alamo. This June the 9th, I remember Matt Stewart. You know, the devil took him out before it should have. I don't have a theology to explain that. But I remember Matt Stewart, and I strengthened myself in the Lord, because right after that happened, he said, Acts 8, Matthew. Philip lost Stephen to murderers. Instead of packing it all in, instead of running away, he ran too. God said, go down to Samaria, and all heaven broke out. And He's made me a promise that on the streets of Chapel Hill, all of heaven's going to break out. I believe Robert, our friend, has said it the best. Not the Azusa Street revival, but the Franklin Street revival. The Wesleyan pastor saw, while he was in college in a different state, he saw a river. He saw Franklin Street. I'm talking about a guy who's not necessarily flowing in the charismatic church. He had a vision. He's told me this personally. He said, Matthew, I saw the street turn into a river. Sounds like a good place for life in the river. Like, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to run in. Will you look at me and tell me that? Remember Ziklag? There you go. Remember the Alma? Remember Matt Stewart? We will receive fresh ideas and extraordinary miracles will be the result. Then there were the seven sons of Sceva. You remember them? It wasn't a good day for them. I don't have time for that. Yeah. There is something about authority, though. So basically, these guys, they are like trying to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, but they didn't really know Jesus. And so the demons rose up and said, well, Jesus we know and Paul we've heard of, but who in the heck are you? And then beat the snot out of them. You know, but you know what happened as a result of that difficulty? It says, great fear fell over the city, and the authority, everybody say authority. The authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. Come on. The authority of the name of Jesus. The authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. Many believers publicly confessed their sins and disclosed their secrets. Go to the next slide. I know I'm jumping over, Ben. Yeah. Keep going. Keep going. We'll get there. Keep going. Yeah, they were. Keep going. There it is. Many believers publicly confess their sins and disclose their secrets. Go on to the next one. Large numbers of those who had been practicing magic, check this out, took all of their books and scrolls of spells and incantations and publicly burned them. When the value of all the books and scrolls was calculated, it all came to several million dollars. Can you imagine that happening? I cannot imagine that happening. I mean, I don't think that they made them do it. Like, it's not like the preacher got up in his three-piece suit, like, thus saith the Lord, bless God, you've got to bring all your... I don't think that happened that way. It's just that God moved on them. people's hearts and the authority of the name of Jesus was exalted. And they came weeping and freely like, boom, we don't need this. Let's get rid of it. And here's the last verse. Put that up. The power of God caused the word to spread and the people were greatly impacted. The power of God caused the word to spread. Has that fried chicken us now? Focus. Woo! The power of the fried chicken. Oh! I'm glad we don't do this every Sunday.
It's about like when we had
marriage. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The Keiths posted about how they had lunch the first time at Merritt's. How many of you have been to the BLT shop? You know Merritt? Yeah. I was like, oh man, our first ever monthly, we didn't even live here, meeting was at Merritt's. And they were cooking bacon the whole time. Do you remember that? Were you there? Were you guys there? That was the craziest meeting. Imagine the Holy Spirit and bacon. Here's the thing, though. I wish that the story ended there, but it doesn't. You know what happened after this? A riot broke out in Ephesus. Because there was a business that created these little like idols for this Greek goddess. And everybody started destroying them. And they didn't want to buy these idols anymore. And so they just threw the city into an uproar. And they took some of Paul's friends down to, I don't know, something, some congregation, stadium. I don't know what that is. Some Greek stadium. And it turns out to be a mess. Fortunately, it got squelled and they got calmed down and everything. But I realized we need to recognize that things will not always go well or as we expected. But there is authority in the name of Jesus. There's either our mess or God's mess. You choose. I, for one, would like to receive God's mess. I, for one, would like to stay on the board, sit in the water, and do everything I know to do. And when that wave comes, baby, I'm riding it. Hang 10. Like, stay on that. I hope it's a maverick. You know, the big waves. Like, the biggest wave. The prophets say there will come a wave that will never end. I kind of think that if you look around the world, that wave is already starting. Like if you look around the world, there are thousands upon thousands being saved. There are countless being healed, saved, delivered. In that, Randy Clarkson, there are people, a guy from Brazil, crazy. A guy in San Diego, California. I mean, all over the planet. So let us also not become so narrow focused that all we can see are these empty seats in the room or the person that didn't get healed. Okay? But what if they don't turn into, but what if they do? Like, let faith be spelled R-I-S-K. You know, step out of the box. But here's the thing. Be who you are. Don't try to be Benny Hinn or Rick Joyner or Bob Jones or Bill Johnson or T.D. Jakes or Tasha Cobbs or whoever your spiritual podcasts and worship sets are. Yeah, those are to serve the body of Christ, but be you. Be you. Dive in. Dive into the gifts God's given you. Get the impartation. Ask the Lord questions about more revelation on whatever that is. And keep going after it. And let's join together and encourage one another as a body. Amen. All right, you guys stand up. We're going to eat. We got to eat. Woo! Before we eat, God, we ask you for more Holy Ghost.
Yes, Lord. Holy Ghost. Woo.
Holy Ghost impartation. Impartation, Lord.
Yes.
Impartation. Fire.
Yes.
Just fresh fire fill our hearts right now. Fresh fire. Woo, fresh fire. Just fill us right now. God, we're asking you that we could be those surfers to catch the wave, Lord. To
to catch the wave, Jesus. We want to be those poised and positioned, Lord, that even in difficulty, God, we thank you for the faith of Christ. We thank you for the Galatians 2:20, faith of Christ. We thank you for the lion's roar. Woo! Oh, let the lion roar. The lion of Judah roar. Yeah, Lord. And God, we thank you for that, that we are sons and daughters of David. Right? So, we receive from our spiritual ancestors. We remember the miracles that you gave to King David. And we also ask you for that same heart of courage to dive in, to run into the fight. Just give you all the glory. Yeah. Amen. I was reading this verse this week about remembering the ancestors. And I thought about the Eastern cultures and stuff and African cultures that have like ancestor worship. You know, we know that's not of God. But there is something about that great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12. There is something about our physical and spiritual ancestors. Because us Americans, we're so like independent. You know, like we're so detached. It's like, you know, your parents are this. Yeah, it's great. You know, but then you're your own person. You're your self-made man or woman. It's generally like a cultural characteristic. But there's something in Eastern culture that we need to remember. Like there's something in our heritage where God's saying, grab a hold of those spiritual inheritances that are yours, you know? Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. God bless the food.
Amen.
Thank you for it. Let's eat.
Well, I think we probably need to.
Who wants? Do we need any instructions?
We're going to have to set up tables.
All right. So, guys, you see those round tables over there? Let's put those out.
And then we'll get the food, and then we'll let everybody know when it's time.
All right, we'll let everybody know when it's time.